God is good.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's get into the Word of God this morning. Praise the Lord. How many of you, I need a show of hands, how many of you have ever been on a commercial airline? A commercial airline, a flight. Yay! That's awesome. That's a lot of us. So the majority of us can relate, right? How many of you know firsthand, since you've been on those airplanes, how comfortable airplane seats are? They're miserable. I honestly believe that some engineer somewhere was like just horribly treated, and their job was to be an airline seat engineer, and they said, I want to make them look comfortable, but be miserable. It's just built the perfect place so that you are like, I got a crick in, I didn't even know I could get a crick right there. And then it's so narrow, you can't escape. It's amazing, the torture. If you want to know what it's like, just today at lunch or whatever, just tell everybody at the table, okay, for the next 2.5 hours, you will be stuck right there in that chair. But I want you not to sit back. I want you to sit slightly bent forward. And I want you to move your chairs closer to everyone else around the table. That is miserable. I don't like it. But here's why I'm bringing up airplanes today. As we've just recently traveled, I realized something. Airports are a phenomenon for this modern age. They used to not exist. There are no airports in the Bible. You know, there really isn't. It's not like LaGuardia is there or Chicago or none of that stuff. It's not there. Why? Because airplanes didn't exist. Airplanes are a thing that until towards the end of the 19th century, they weren't even there. Nobody knew what they were. You know, first ones were just balsam wood and canvas and all that kind of stuff. Orville and Wilbur, you know, the guys that made popcorn. No, that's not them at all. So airplanes are a pretty amazing phenomenon. Here's the funny thing. America is about 33.8 million? Is that what it was? I wrote this down so I would remember what this is. Is it 3.8? I believe it is. It is. 3.8 million square miles. I can't really picture that. 3.8 million square miles. I haven't been to all of those square miles. I've been to quite a few of the places. That's a large amount of area. You know what the quickest way to transport people, goods, things in America is? In the world? Do you know what it is? It's not a horse and buggy. Used to be, right? It's not a boat. That used to be. It's not a boat with a steam engine. Used to be. It's not a steam on some wheels, on some rails, a train. Used to be. It's not a truck that Steve Freeze drives. It used to be. It's none of those things. The thing that transports the most people, goods, all those things, and in the fastest way is an airplane. An airplane. I like airplanes. Until they break or blow up or crash or are grounded because of a technical issue and you can't go anywhere and you're stuck for hours in Chicago when you could have just drove home. Anyway, that's a sensitive issue. Airplanes, they're the fastest until they're the slowest. It's the fastest thing. And I'm sitting here asking myself, Lord, what can I talk about on Sunday to illustrate what we need in receiving more of you? He says, prepare for airplanes. I'm like, airplanes? I was like, what the heck, God? Airplanes? Okay. Sitting here thinking about airplanes. What do airplanes require? An airport. A landing field. Some kind of runway, right? Pilots, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of things that go into getting an airplane from one place to another, or for an airplane even to be able to land. Do you know there has to be a demand? Green Bay is expanding here. Its airport is expanding here. And do you know the reason why it's expanding? It's because they're filling up the flights that come. They're actually filling them up. So now more flights are coming, and then the airport is starting to expand. This is because there's a demand from the people who live in that area for the use of those airplanes. And so then the airport is expanding. And there, and that runway, it's this beautiful paved runway thing. And you know, when we were flying out, it was snowstorming just a little bit that day that we flew out. And I sat there at the big windows watching the runway get cleaned by these massive like bulldozer things. And it was so impressive. They don't use the same ones in my street. These ones are like these long choo-choo train bulldozer things with like other things in the back. And they go at full speed. And you just see clouds going. And there's like a team of four of them. And they're like two on this side and two on that side. And I'm watching them. And they just race down the runway. And clouds of snow and junk is flying everywhere. And they do that for what reason? So that a plane can land. So I'm like, wow, look at that. And you know, some runways aren't long enough to receive big enough planes. Some runways are as small and as simple as just a cleared field. But what kind of a plane can land on a cleared field? Just these little two-seaters. Petraeus' grandpa, we used to joke because when you'd go into our hometown there, that little Carruthers, this one little entrance to that area, there was a gas station. And on top of the gas station was this open cockpit plane that was like this, like it landed on its nose. And stuck there. And it was kind of iconic to that whole area. Every time I go by there, I imagined her grandpa, Gar, flying his little dusting airplane thing from all of his vineyard and stuff and crashing it right there on the garage. Boom. That's the kind of plane, little open cockpit, you know, thing. That's what lands in an open field. But you know what? I don't know about you. I want a bigger plane. Can't transport a lot in that. I want to take my whole family. My whole family couldn't even fit in that. And when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, not about a plane, you and I have to understand the whole dynamic. And so today, the one image I want you to think about is planes and airports and everything that goes along with it. If you've traveled, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to go to bed tonight thinking about the Holy Spirit is a giant airplane and we need to prepare. You got to get the airport built. You got to get the runway built. You got to get it maintained. You got to get some lights on the runway. And you've got to call it out and buy a ticket so you can fly. You know, you can't show up anymore to the airport, really, and just say, hey, I'm here. I wanted to fly to so-and-so. They'll say, it's all booked. They'll say, well, man, you should have booked this a month ago. Well, I just thought I'd just go to the airport and get a ticket. No, you're an idiot. You know, that's why they have the internet. You know, that's what it is. You can show up and just say, I'll fly wherever you want me to go. But I don't know about you. That's not the way I roll. I want to go to certain places. I want certain things. So today, it's all about airplanes and airports. Airplanes and airports. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, we see a man who knows how to land an airplane. We see a man who knows how to build an airport, to build a runway, to light some lights, and to invite that Holy Spirit to land in his life and in his family and in his city and experience everything that that Holy Spirit brings. See, at the end of this story and at the end of this message, I want to remove anything that hinders you and I from receiving the Holy Spirit in our life and what God wants to do in our life. So that's very, very important. Why should you listen to this silly pastor in front of you preach today? Well, some of you signed a membership card or something like that and you're just legally required to be here. No. For others, you thought you were going to the Lutheran church next door, and you're still confused, going, I need to get out of here as soon as I can. But you're too polite to leave right now. So, you know, I mean, but for others, you just go to church because it's your thing to do. Here's what I ask. I ask that you seriously consider what is hindering the Holy Spirit from moving more freely in your life. What are you suffering from today? That you are only suffering from because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to move more freely in your life. The problem is you might not have even built an airport or lit the lights on your runway. You might not have done anything to prepare for more. So don't be surprised if no planes are landing in your life right now. And I want to change that. Do you want to change that? Well, let's look at this story. And the man I'm referring to in Acts chapter 10 is a man by the name of Cornelius. Everybody say Cornelius. Cornelius. Mm-hmm. It's gone. man, you know. Cornelius, verse 1. Now there's a certain man named Cornelius. It's from Caesarea. He's a centurion. Anybody know what a centurion is? He's a soldier, a warrior. And he was a devout man. He was from a group called the Italian cohort. Did you know that the Bible had cool titles like that, names? I think that was actually the first gang. I really do. I think it was a Bible gang called the Italian cohort. And he was a devout man who feared God. Everybody know what fear God means? It doesn't mean a scared of him. It means reverence and awe. So he was not a Jewish man. He was a Gentile man. He was a soldier, so he's probably more crass and a little more, you know, cut and dry than most. And he was overseeing some others, but he reverenced and he had an awe for God. He was a devout man, and he feared God along with his entire household. And you know what I need to say about that is if this. Do you know statistics say that until a dad serves God with all his heart, the chances for that home to turn around and to serve and love God are so little. It's less than 50%. But if a dad is saved, over 85% of the homes where a dad is saved, they turn around and they serve the Lord. What does that say? That says that men matter. I don't buy a bunch of this women feminine craziness where they say women is all it is. No, 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 no. God made us both. We're not better or less than each other. We're equal, and there is a purpose for us men. Some of us men need to remember that at times. You are not just there to burp, eat chips, and watch TV, and then go work and then die. It's not it at all. You need to have a purpose, and you make an impact on people in your world. Cornelius is that kind of man. He showed up, and he was a mover and a shaker. Praise God. And so all of his community, the Jewish people all around him, boy, they knew him. Why? Because he was a giver. He was a generous man. And he prayed. He prayed to God continually. This is some good stuff. I'm going to tell you what happened to him. This man saw a vision. God spoke to him, changed him. Said, I want you to call this other guy. This other guy, he needs to come over and bring the Holy Spirit to you. He doesn't even know what this is yet. And so in verse 22, let's go. And Cornelius obeys this vision, sends messengers to Peter. In verse 22, this is what they say. They say, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and a God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews. Wow, he's a really good guy, I guess. And he was divinely directed by God, a holy angel, to send this message to you, Peter. Peter, come to this house. Why? Because Cornelius has got to hear a word from you. So he invited him, and he gave him lodging. We read on in this story, and I think this is pretty interesting because on verse 24, he goes down. On the following day, he enters Caesarea, the place where Cornelius lives. Verse 24 is where I'm at. Cornelius was waiting there for him. And he called all his relatives and his close friends together. You know, isn't that neat when a man does something like that? He's like, hey, guys, I need some help. We're going to have something happen here. Let's all get together. Verse 25, and when it came about the time for Peter to enter, Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet. He started to worship him, and Peter raised this guy up, and he said, hey, knock it off, man. I'm just a man. Take note of that. Peter was just a man. Would you say that? You need to remember it. He's just a man. Peter wasn't a super saint. He's, what is he? Just a man. What? Wives, look at your husband right now. What is he? Just a man. That's right. You're just a man. Almost wanted to make a song about that. Bobby, you're just a man, not a superstar, okay? I want you to get that out of your head because I'm going to beat you like crazy on the court or on the hill. I'm going to beat you like crazy. Just a man. That's a side note. That has nothing to do with sermon. This is trash talk between a pastor and a sheep. Sorry. So back to the message. Previously scheduled programming. Here we go. All right, so he falls down and worships at Peter's feet, and he goes, come on, I'm just a man. stands him up. Verse 27 is where I'm at. And as he talked with him, he entered and he found all kinds of people gathered together, assembled. And he said to all these guys, whoa, you guys know how unlawful it is for a Jew like me, Peter, to come in with all you Gentile people. It's crazy. But since it's God, I'm going to be here and I'm going to bring something that you guys need. See, this was a stretch for both the Gentiles and for Peter, but because God wanted to land there, there was a scheduled stop where the Holy Spirit wanted to be poured out right there. Peter obeyed because of what God had told him to. Don't you resist. Go land there. And Cornelius obeyed, and he prepped everything, and there's a whole group of people ready to receive. I love this. And so let's catch back up at verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house, and here's what happened. God told me to send for you. And so, verse 33, I sent to you immediately, and you've been kind enough to come this way. So here we are. We're all present, ready before God to hear everything that you've commanded for us to hear. Everything. We're all here. Oh, you got to hear this, church. Cornelius set all this up. He says, I'm hungry. I'm ready. I want to hear what God wants to do. I want to experience what God wants to do in my life. He did it all. And then when Peter shows up, he goes, we are all ready for whatever you got. This is so good. Man. Peter says something at this moment, almost in awe. I can picture this and I could think of him saying, wow, you know what? I most certainly understand. I understand because I'm standing in the presence of a bunch of Gentiles that want God to show up, that God is not a respecter of persons. This is in verse 34 and 35. He says, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't show partiality to anyone in this room. Not a single person in this room is left off. Every one of us has a divine connection with the King of Kings and the Spirit of God. I don't care what your age is. I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're old. God says, I will never favor someone over you. If you want me to land in your place, land in your heart, I will never show partiality. That's my paraphrase of it. Hopefully that connects with you. 35, it says, but in every nation where men fear God, they do what is right and welcome him. Church, are you welcoming God in your life? Are you welcoming the Holy Spirit in your life? Peter preaches this word to him. We're going to skip forward. He preaches this word to him from verse 38 all the way to verse 43. He basically says, we need to talk about Jesus before we go anywhere. It's always about Jesus, church. It's not about signs, miracles, and wonders. It's really about Jesus, and it's Jesus first. Jesus is the reason there's signs, miracles, and wonders. It affirms the gospel truth, the good news. And here's a summary of the good news that Peter preaches. Verses 42 and 43, he says, he ordered us to preach to the people solemnly, to testify of what we'd seen, that this one man, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the appointed one by God as judge of the living and the dead. Hear about it. It's not good news unless you know there's a judgment coming. Sick people don't need healing. Or sick people need healing, not, wait, whatever that goes around. Write that down, Michelle. You got to remember that one. That's a good one. Revival just hit. Stop. Sick people need a physician, not healthy people. And so it's one of these things where it's like, wow, if there ain't a sense of judgment, there's consequences to believing or not believing. When you say Jesus is a Savior, they go from what? Life's pretty good for me. Well, for eternity, who knows what happens after I die? That person ain't going to even be interested in the gospel message. But I tell you, the one that's afraid of what judgment might mean for them and for their soul or where they're going to spend eternity. You say you can know for sure. That person says, I want to know for sure. And you say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They go, well, I like Jesus. And they say, yes, let him be your Lord. That's how simple the gospel message is. And in verse 43, it says this, of Jesus, all of the prophets before Jesus' life bear witness that through his name, the name of Jesus, everyone who believes in him receives what? Forgiveness of sins. The things that would demand judgment upon your life, Jesus and Jesus alone removes that, so you and I have free access into heaven and can spend eternity with him. See, that is the gospel message. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to peace in our hearts than through Jesus Christ. And if that is settled, then we have some unity and we have the potential to experience what they experience. Starting in verse 44. While Peter was preaching the gospel, he was still speaking these words, just those words. The Holy Spirit landed. The Holy Spirit landed on those that were listening to that message, and everyone, all of the circumcised believers who had come with Peter. This means every other Jewish person that was there traveling with Peter, watching all these Gentiles, non-believers in their brains, outsiders. He said, all of these people, they were amazed because the gifts of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon even the non-Jewish people. They were hearing them, speaking in tongues, glorifying God, making that prophetic utterance, all of those things. I'm telling you, it wasn't just an internal thing that was subjective. It was external and obvious. And when the Holy Spirit lands, you try and contain it. I dare you. It's going to be like a fire shut up in your bones. You won't be able to stop. I don't care if you work in a really posh place. You might fall on the ground babbling like an idiot. And everybody around you will be like, she's drunk. He's drunk. I don't know what's wrong. And when you finally do get to speak, you'll say, I'm not drunk. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And he just revealed this is what's going on in your life. And they'll be like, ooh, what? And you're like, that's because you need to know that God is real. And you need to turn your life over to him. And they'll be like, yes, that's right. I so need to do that. Repent and believe. And they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the God that just showed up in your life is the God that will save them and gives them peace and hope that will never spoil or fade. I look at this and in verse 17 it says, of chapter 11, it says, if God therefore gave these Gentiles the very same gift as he had given the Jews after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then who am I, Peter says, who am I to hold it back from them? Wow, I'm not going to stand in God's way. Here's the thing this morning. I don't want anything to stand in the way of God landing the Holy Spirit in your life. I want you to think right now, the plane of God, that Airbus, whatever it is, of God, is circling the heavens looking for where to land. The prophet in the Old Testament said the Spirit of God is searching the whole earth to find out whose heart is fearing and reverencing God. Why? He wants to land. He wants to show up in your life. Your life. And when he shows up, what those planes can transport is worth everything it takes to build the airport, maintain the runway, light the lights, and get it all scheduled. You don't want to miss out on it. Why? Man. I don't know about you, but when I think of what I could be missing out on, let's just keep it real simple. How about joy? How about peace? How about self-control? How about all these good things that are just the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life? Galatians 5:22, go and look at those fruits. How many of us wouldn't want more joy in your life? We just got back from Hawaii. I didn't see a lot of joy in all the places. Why? Because those wonderful tropical paradises don't deliver the joy that the soul aches for. C.S. Lewis said God has peppered this life with many wonderful experiences to kind of relieve us along the way, but none of them are so satisfying that in this life we find ultimate fulfillment. We are just like anything that says, I don't feel like I'm home yet. I'm longing for something this place hasn't satisfied. And you know, when I'm in there in Hawaii, I told Petraea, I said, about 3 days into it, I got sick of Hawaii. How do you get sick of Hawaii? I wasn't really sick of the sun and the water and all that stuff. But what I was sick of is this. I got sick of all the materialism. I got sick of all the skin. I got sick of all of the just buy, buy, buy. I got sick of all the experience. And part of me was going, this stuff doesn't satisfy that inner longing. Pascal said it best. We fill our lives with indifference and diversion because we don't want to look in the mirror and see the wretchedness that all this world can't cure. And so we look higher. And so when I'm asking God, why do I need the plane of the Holy Spirit to land in my life? Why do you need it? Because everybody in this place could stand with a little bit more joy. They could stand with a little bit more joy. I had a wonderful appointment this last week with a fellow believer. We're kind of two different flavors in the same ice cream parlor, if you get what I mean. But he called me up and said, hey, can we pray together? And I said, sure. We get together, we're talking and encouraging. And he said something that was very sweet. And the only reason I'm sharing it is not to puff me up, but I'm just to share this with you because I thought how wonderful it is when the Holy Spirit's a part of your life and you don't restrict him. He told me, he said, Ben, I just got to tell you, I like praying with you. I like spending time with you. I like being around you. And I said, really? Well, I'm already seeing somebody. Sorry. I don't know. It's broken up here. I know it's broken up here and I can't fix it. Pray for me. I said, really? He said, yeah. He goes, you have a joy, you have a charisma about you that it gets on you when you spend time with you, and I want more of that in my life. And so I like spending time with you. And I said, really? I said, that's for you, man. I said, that's just the joy of God in my life. You know, I'm not the richest man. I don't have problem-free everything, but I'll tell you something. I have something inside of me, the Holy Spirit, that is a well of living water that springs up. And I don't need a full bank account. I don't need a problem-free life to have what that gives me. This is something that I am confident if I was in a prison cell or if I was in a palace courtroom thing or something like that, the same well of joy, of living water would be springing up out of me and I'd pray that it would give refreshing water to all those around me. I said, this is some good stuff. And I said, let's pray. And so then we just start praying. And at the end of it, after the word of the Lord moving and stuff, I said, now get out of my church. So... See, stop laughing. That's joy. You be careful. You get a little of that joy on you, it's going to get on somebody else. I'm going to say, where you get that from? And you're going to say, from Pastor Ben. No, it's not from Pastor Ben. It's from the Spirit of God. Because we got lots of things to cry about in this life, but nothing satisfies like the oil that comes from the throne. But you need the plane to carry it to you. And you don't have to wait for a horse and buggy to transport it to you. It's instantaneous. Mach 47. There's no such thing about that. I don't even know what that is. It's so fast. It's faster than the fastest jet. And it delivers what you need in the moment you need it. God's Spirit is like that. Tell you, even when you're about to say something, you don't even know what you're going to say. If you need wisdom, the Holy Spirit by jet plane brings it right into your heart and your mind. You know exactly what you need to say. You don't have to worry about it. If you need something like you're stressed and you don't have the peace that you need, but in those times you need that peace, God's Spirit comes and delivers you peace. Some of you are so troubled because of the heartache in your life. A couple days ago, I was in prayer and the Spirit of God stirred up some intercession. I began praying and just wailing, and it was all about one topic, comfort. I believe people in this room need something. And the Holy Spirit, that big plane, has got it in its cargo, and He wants to deliver it to you. And what He wants to deliver is comfort. Comfort. Some of you need comfort, and you ain't getting it in sex, drugs, diversion, indifference. You ain't getting it in religion. You are only going to find comfort in the presence of God, and He is wanting to land it in your life. But if you don't build an airport, create a runway, and light the lights, you ain't going to get that kind of comfort. So then I got to preach a message like this. Mm-mm-mm. How much time we got? We have 2 minutes to build an airport, build a runway, and light some lights. And then the last 2 seconds, we're going to purchase some tickets, okay? That's what we're going to do. So let me hit this real quick. What do I mean when I say build an airport? I'm talking about hunger. We talked about it last week. If there was no demand for an airplane to land, there would be no real reason to build an airport. But as something grows, the population grows, the demand for things and for travel grows, there is a need that becomes very apparent. You need an airport. And in your life, you might be aware of a need, a void. That's hunger, my friend. And if you're not aware of that, then here's my challenge. Fast. Pull away. Create a kind of a hunger in and of yourself. Fill up on the world and you won't even feel the need for God. But if you starve yourself from the world and the diversions, you will feel a spiritual hunger grow in you that only God can satisfy. And until you go without, you will never realize you can't go without unless you get God. You have to fill up on God. But He likes that empty vessel. And He is more committed to having you get to this place where you will feel a need for Him than even you are. Have you ever wondered why sometimes life stinks and you feel a void? It's so that you can look up and say, I need Jesus. But you know, you don't have to wait for a horrible day. You can actually say in this moment right now, you can say, you know what? I don't need to eat today. I got a spiritual food and a drink from heaven that is going to satisfy me more than anything on this life or in this world can. And I want to create that hunger. Go without. You'll hear your belly growl, but your spirit will be interceding for something that satisfies. Go without. Fast and pray. Seek His face. Cut out the world. Stop watching some TV and go to prayer. Stop spending some time with some people. Go isolate yourself and alone in a prayer closet. Shut the door. Shut everybody else out. Shut in with God and seek His face. That's important. And so when I look at this, I think, boy, we need this. Now, here's something interesting, because there are two times where I see the Holy Spirit landing in a very significant way that we can't ignore. And the quality I see in both of those times is people's hunger gathered them together in unity. And the two times I'm referring to is out of 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and moving into verse 7, you see the dedication of Solomon's temple. And at that dedication, he gathered the priests together and he prayed and then the Holy Spirit fell. And you know what? That's just like what happened on the day of Pentecost. People gathered together. They were the temple of the Holy Spirit, but they gathered together in the upper room and they sought God and the Holy Spirit fell. In both instances, God filled the place and it was so manifested and so real, everybody saw it, couldn't deny it. But there was a unique fact about both of those encounters. In Solomon's temple, there were 120 people gathered in unity, seeking Him and in prayer and all of that. In the upper room, there was 120 people gathered together, seeking God and in prayer. And the other week, I was reading through and seeing this, and the Holy Spirit spoke in me like you know, when a mom feels a baby kick in her belly, and she goes, look at that, feel that right there. The truth of this went into my stomach, started to grow something, and then it starts kicking. And I'm in my office going, ha ha, ha ha. And then I started crying, and then I started rejoicing, and then I'm in here. And here's what I see. Do you realize I counted every chair in here? We're right at that 120 mark right in here. We're right at that 120 mark right in here. You know what the symbolism is of 120 people getting together and seeking God's face? It's new beginnings. It's a new era. Just like that time at the end of the 19th century when Orville and Wilbur took that first little flight, a new era began. And you know what? When we allow the Holy Spirit to come and land and there's a group of people, I don't care if it's 120 exactly, that's not the point. The point is this: when a group of people get together and they build an airport and say, we demand for the plane of the Holy Spirit to land right here for us. God says, oh, it's on. Your city just got a whole new thing. Cities without airports are stupid. I don't want to live there. Cities with airports, I like them. Why? Because I can get out of there. It's fun. You can travel. So you know what? When it's a new era, it's marked by all these new things that can happen. God can bring stuff and God can do stuff. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, he wants to do something through Visible Church. It's a new era. But I need to see if you, all of yous, are you in this upper room with me? And are you there gathering in the temple of the Holy Spirit asking God, build this airport, land your Holy Spirit here in this place. We want a new era. I want that new era. I want to say, God, you better bring that plane. Now, it doesn't stop there because the runway has to be built, doesn't it? What is the runway? You know, the prophet said, prepare the way, make that straight path for the Lord. What am I talking about? There are things that inhibit the Holy Spirit from landing smoothly in your life and in my life. And if those things remain, you and I will suffer harm. That means we'll go without the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not complicated. It's not complicated, but we've got to clear the way. When I look at this, it's got to be salvation, but more than that, there has to be runway lights. So when we get saved, I can't even preach anymore. I'm done, I think. I don't even know if we can go any further, church, today at least. I'm looking at the clock and I'm going, the Holy Spirit has so much more to do than what we even have time for. How do I wrap this up right now? I'm going to finish this message on Wednesday. If you can't make it on Wednesday because of work, that's okay. Watch or get the tape or the podcast of it. But what we're going to go through on Wednesday, we're going to talk about how we deal with things that get in the way of God's Spirit coming. After we talk about that, we're going to talk about some things that hinder us, some misconceptions. And I'm going to talk about how the Holy Spirit doesn't come on the perfect. Because some people in this room, I'm just going to tell you, if you want to hear the rest of that, you're going to have to come or get it. Some people in here are what I'm going to call chronic seekers. You're good folks. The problem is, you're not receiving the Holy Spirit because you're a good person. And we're going to deal with that on Wednesday. Chronic seekers never find what they're seeking. Why? They're comfortable with chronically seeking. They're chronically seeking. You know what other things come with chronic? Disease. It's a disease of always seeking and never finding. Jesus isn't like that. And if it's not that, then there's another issue we're going to deal with on Wednesday night, and that's called the super Christian syndrome. Because we believe that if so-and-so's got the Holy Spirit landing in their life, they're somehow a super Christian and that God has affirmed everything in their life, and there are so many problems. I can't get into it now, but you've got to deal with this because some of you have not had the Holy Spirit show up in your life because of those two issues. You think either this first thing, you're a chronic seeker and you never have found it yet, or you feel like super Christians are the ones that get it and you are somehow not in that class of Christianity. And I believe the Holy Spirit wants to come and blow all of those things away, because here's the truth, and it's the only thing I'm going to say about this and I'll move on. The Holy Spirit has always been and it will always be a gift received in faith. And that's important for us to know, because if you don't get that, then when it comes for you to book a ticket, to fly with the Holy Spirit, to do whatever the Holy Spirit does, you will not have the access you want. I love the fact that God uses imperfect people. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit shows up and does what nobody else can do. But here's what I ask of you in closing. Build an airport. Build an airport with me. I'm asking you to seek God's face. I'm asking you to stir some hunger. I'm asking you to go without. Some of you got personal days and sick days. Call them up. Hey, I need a personal day this week. What for? Is everything okay? No, not everything's okay. The world is in chaos. Have you seen it? I got an appointment with somebody. Take a day, fast, seek the Lord, shut out the world. If you're married, I want you to abstain from sex, and I want you to isolate yourself, and I want you to be alone with the Lord. I don't want anything to divert from God. Part of the reason why I'm saying this is because the things about the Holy Spirit are serious. So serious, and here's how sensitive it is. Gary and I were talking. Gary calls me up and he says, Pastor, I feel something in my spirit's bugging me. And here's what it is. And I listened to him and I said, you know what? I think you're right. This is God. It's a distraction right now. I got to do something. I said, well, let's just see what the Lord says about that. We put it down before the Lord, both of us in gentleness. We just put it down before the Lord, but God wouldn't leave us alone. And so here's what I'm going to do. We scheduled ballroom dancing and all this other stuff this next Friday. I'm canceling it. I don't feel like dancing. It's not the time to dance for me. It is not the time. It's the time right now for me to seek God's face. I'm going to dance after the Thaw Conference. I'm telling you, church, I'm going to dance after the Thaw Conference, but I'm not dancing right now. What I'm doing right now is I am seeking God's face, not because I'm seeking God's face and it's manipulating God, but I'm telling you something. I am not going to allow distractions and diversions in my life when I need that cargo. I need that precious cargo, and I got to build an airport for it. So join with me in that. Some of you need answers to prayers you've been praying almost all of your Christian life. Others of you, you have grown cold in your faith and you don't even see it. You're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit anymore because you've bought the lie that you could live in the world and still not be of it. No, you have bought the world's lie and you've disqualified from being in the world and not of it. You are the world. And so when I'm speaking spiritual words, you're not even hearing it. It's okay. I love you. I love you. You don't need to hear what I'm preaching. It's spiritually discerned. But if the Holy Spirit in you is revealing, friend, it is not me you're doing business with. It's the God above us that you're doing business with. And if the Spirit of God is saying, fast, seek me, you better respond. Not because I'm asking, but because the Holy Spirit through me is asking. In the Old Testament, this is what happened. Whenever someone set themselves apart to seek God, maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days, he said, you set yourself apart to seek God, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to show up. I love that. Who wants to build an airport with me? I do. Me, I do. I want an Airbus, whatever the number, I don't know. I need to learn the numbers of airplanes. I don't know. I want that airplane to land, amen? So let's build that airport. Let's build that hunger. If you need prayer today for anything personally going on in your life, please come down and pray. Seek God's face with us as a prayer team. We believe when two or more people come together, it's like doing like a courtroom settling an issue. We settle the matter. Just like it's settled in heaven, we settle it right here on earth, and it's done. Judgment of God is brought. It's good. It's settled. Sickness, disease, all kinds of junk can be dealt with that kind of clarity. Boom, done. If you need something, come and pray. Amen. Stand with me. Those that are going to pray with people, would you come down? And, God is so good. You know, I started singing that song. Where's my little thing? Here it is. I started singing that song at the beginning of service. I'll sing it a little bit more now just because it's on my brain. When I say the anointing, I'm really saying the airplane, right? The Holy Spirit. Oh, man, the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just thank you for your word today, and we say yes and amen to it. We take it in our hearts, and we respond in Jesus' name. Well, you guys are officially dismissed, but I'm going to sing this song once or twice. If you want to come down for prayer, now's your chance. If you want to come down and pray. If you need salvation, come down and pray for salvation with these folks down here. Other than that, you go in the peace and in the love and the Spirit of God covering you. Amen.
fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of that Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing fall. Thank you. isn't heaven.